الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فنحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى. We praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى that we've reached this stage in Al-Bayquniyya, and that is the conclusion, so to speak, of these uloom from the sciences or the science of Hadith. And without any delay, we continue and mention these briefly, so afterwards, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll have time for the short exam, which is approximately 18 questions, inshallah, related to that which we've taken throughout the past few weeks as it relates to Al-Mandhumatu Bayqunuyya. قال المؤلف رحمه الله الناظم قال الناظم رحمه الله تعالى والمدرجات في الحديث ما أتت من بعد ألفاظ الرواة اتصلت. He said رحمه الله تعالى, the 26th category from the categories of science of hadith is al-mudraj. And he says, وَالْمُدْرَجَاتُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ مَأَتَتْ. And mudrajat, he mentioned the plural because of the, so you can go in sequence in the poetry. And mudraj is in, as it relates to hadith, is that which comes with some wordings that the narrator adds to the hadith. So mudraj is that hadith where the narrator, he adds to the hadith, and then it's connected like as if it's from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His definition here is tight, so we don't need to go in too much of that. But what we do, we go through this in a few short points as it relates to mudraj. The point number one is mudraj logatan, the linguistic meaning of mudraj. وَهُوَ إِدْخَالُ الشَّيْءِ فِي شَيْءٍ إِدْخَالُ الشَّيْءِ فِي شَيْءٍ. And that is to incorporate something with something else. To incorporate something with something else. Or to enter something into something else. This is the meaning of it linguistically. As for the meaning of al-mudraj, from the most simplistic definitions I found, which has general good meaning and tight meaning as it relates to that which the ulama have mentioned, is idkhalu matanin wa nahwihi fi matnin akhar yuhimu annahu minhu. Idkhalu matanin wa nahwihi fi matnin akhar yuhimu annahu minhu. And that is to enter and incorporate a text within a text, and it's like with another text, as if it is from it. So to enter a text of hadith with another text, as if it is from it. And it's understood it is from it, but it is not. But it is not. And this is mudraj, istilahan, according to the definition of the ulama of hadith. And al-mudraj can come in the beginning of a hadith, number one. And idraj can happen, this entering of a text within the text, or the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mathalan, can occur at the beginning of the text of the hadith, and can occur fi wasat al-hadith, in the middle of the hadith, and can occur fi akhir al-hadith. So it can occur in the beginning, the middle, and the end. Because of time, we'll give an example of one of them, and that is in the middle. That is in the middle, and we give one in the middle and the end. As for Idraj, an example of this, where the metan, or metan, is the text is incorporated, yani as in the hadith from another text, is the hadith on Aishita, yani it's from Zuhri, and Aishita radiyallahu anha, she said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتَحَنَّثُ فِي غَارٍ حِرَاءٍ وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ وَالْلَيَالِ ذَوَاتِ الْعَدَدِ. In this hadith, which is in Bukhari, Zuhri, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the narration of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كَانَ يَتَحَنَّثُ, yani be secluded in worship, yani go into seclusion in worship in the cave, Hira. And then in the hadith it says in the middle, وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ, and it is worship. Yani the meaning of tahannuth is to worship. The meaning of what? Tahannuth is to worship. وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ. And then it says, لَيَالِ ذَوَاتِ الْعَدَدِ. So in this hadith, the statement, وَهُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ, is mudraj. It's actually from the statement of Az-Zuhri. It's actually from the statement of who? Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is him explaining the meaning of tahannuth. And some of the narrators, salamakumullah, may have misunderstood this as being from this actual statement of Aisha radhiyallahu anha. But it is from the statement of Az-Zuhri. So this is an example of idraj. In the beginning, middle, or end? Fil-wasat. Fi? Al-wasat. Fi? Al-wasat, in the middle, where it's come as an explanation. And an example of salamakumullah at the end is a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is an example of idraj at the end in Sahihain and Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala marfu'a, lil'abdi al-mamluk ajran, lil'abdi al-mamluk ajran. In the hadith which is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, for the slave is two rewards, and the slave that's a servant is two rewards. And then walladhi nafsi biyadihi lawla al-jihadu fi sabilillah wal hajju wa birru ummi la ahbabtu an amuta wa ana mamlukun. Where it said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and by the one whose hand my soul is in, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah, if it wasn't for jihad in the path of Allah and performing hajj and being righteous to my mother, I would love that I would die whilst I am a slave, a servant to someone else. This is idraj at the end. So the statement here, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, by the one whose hand my soul is in, from there is idraj at the end of the hadith. The hadith in reality is لِلْعَبْدِ الْمَمْلُوكِ أَجْرَانِ, for the slave that is a servant, serving his master, two rewards. As for the other part of the hadith, this is idraj fil akhir hadith. It's been entered, is a narration or a statement from one of the narrators. It's a statement from one of the narrators. And some of the ulama of hadith have said is mudrajun min kalami Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'anhu. It's actually a statement from Abu Hurairah. And some of the narrators thought that it was a statement of who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how did the ulama of ilal, because idraj, mudraj, is from the categories of hadith that is to do with ilal, hidden discrepancies or hidden defects. How did they know that this was not from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Two reasons. The first one is that it's impossible that he would wish to be a slave because he's Rasulullah. And he is the most noble of man. So there is no need for him to wish to be a slave when he has got the station of Nubuwwah. He's got a station of prophethood. So this cannot be from a statement of a prophet of Allah, yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one. And secondly, number two, وَبِرُّ أُمِّي, and being righteous to my mom. His mother was what? Huh? Dead. His mother sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dead. So therefore, it cannot be a statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is why the ulama say that this is idraj. Yani this is mudraj. Mudrajun min kalami Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu li'annahu yumtana minhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an yatamanna ar-riq wa li'anna ummuhu lam takun idhak mawjuda hatta yabirraha. His mother was not alive sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order for him to show her any righteousness. So this is clearly a statement from some of the narrators, and some of the narrators in the Isnad made the error to amalgamate. That's the word, yes. Amalgamate. To amalgamate, join. The statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and add at the end somebody else's, like as if it's one statement. And another example of this, fil akhir hadith, at the end of the hadith, is a hadith we mentioned Anwar last week. And that is the hadith, وَلِلَّهِ تِسْعُ تِسْعُونَ إِسْمًا, and for Allah is 99 names, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلْ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever memorizes, acts upon them, will enter paradise. And in that hadith, which is in Tirmidhi, the narrator added the names of, added and enumerated names of Allah at the end. Have you heard of this hadith? This hadith is weak, because it's mudraj, because the mentioning of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they mentioned in that hadith 99 is not from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather it was a statement of one of the narrators, which is why the hadith where the names ذَكَرَهُ سَرْدًا and mentioned the names one by one, that is idraj at the end of the hadith, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't mention that, but rather it is from the ijtihad of one of the narrators who decided to try and enumerate the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other narrators after him thought that it was actually from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in Tirmidhi, and this is in Tirmidhi, so it's considered da'if. Up, that is da'if from the end when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, it finished. And after that, where the names were mentioned one by one, is a weak hadith. And likewise, إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ كَرِيمٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوُ. The dua that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ, that you are the of pardoning, تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوُ, you love pardoning, فَعْفُ عَنَّا. In another narration, it says, إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ كَرِيمٌ, that you are عَفُوٌ, of pardoning and generous. كَرِيمٌ is mudraj fil wasat. Wadih? It's actually an addition from one of the transcribers. From one of the transcribers of Tirmidhi, he adrajahu athna al kitaba. He mentioned Kareem during his transcribing of this hadith in Sunnah Tirmidhi, which is also in Sunnah Tirmidhi. And the narrators after that thought that it was actually from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We move on, shall we? The next point we can mention is some of the ulama have said that there are reasons why this idraj occurs. Sometimes it's for explaining vocabulary, like in which hadith? Which word was it? Tahannuth, remember? And Zuhri explained it as what? Ta'abbud. As what? Ta'abbud. So sometimes it can be in order to explain some wordings in a hadith, which is from the way of the ulama of the salaf to explain the hadith. But then the narrators misunderstood and thought it was from the statement of the Messenger or Aisha radiallahu anhu in that regard. And also, it's a mistake by some of the narrators. It could be just a simple mistake by some of the narrators in that isnad. And it could be finally intentionally by some of the narrators, and intentionally done by some of the narrators. And those who did it intentionally without any reason, like ikhtibar or testing anyone, then this is a tuhma. This would be an issue which would be related to your trustworthiness in as a narrator. As a narrator. Can we move on? Wadih? Naam. The next one we're going to talk about now that Al-Baykuni, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions is Al-Mudabbaj. Al-Mudabbaj. وَمَا رَوَى كُلُّ قَرِينٍ أَنْ أَخِي مُدَبَّجٌ فَأَعْرِفُ حَقَّ وَانْتَخِي. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that which every peer narrates on his other peer is مُدَبَّجٌ, is called مُدَبَّج. فَأَعْرِفْهُ حَقًّا وَانْتَخِي. Know it and be proud that you know it. I will explain why. He says, know it and be proud that you know. That when someone who is from the same tabaka, same generation, narrates on somebody else, like the Sahaba narrates on a Sahaba, this is what some of the ulama says, mudabbaj. Kullu kareen and akhi. Kareen means peer. Means what? Peer. So if you were to narrate from each other, Jibril said, that Anwar said, قال جبريل حدثني Anwar, this is مدبج, because they're from the same level. Students of knowledge, same age, same generation, same scholars, Sheikh Ubaid, and so forth. واضح? As we come to clarify further, inshallah. So point number one, which should be quite simple, is the definition of مدبج. The definition linguistically of مدبج. مدبج has two main definitions. The first one, yani, his origin is idabajatul waj, and that is called مدبج because it comes from the cheek. It comes from where? The cheek. This is called idabaja. And that is that the cheek, and it's equal, just like two narrators from the same level are narrating. That's why it's called mudabbaj. It comes from that origin, meaning cheek. And cheek has how many? Two. And they are? They're the same. And they are equal. So linguistically, that's where it comes from. That's why the ulama of a hadith called it mudabbaj. And also another meaning of mudabbaj is tahseen, beautifying. In that something that is beautiful. And some ulama have said that from that is the beautification of the face. And how is that related to this isnad, or this issue of mudabbaj? In that when you see a narration, and Aisha radiallahu anha narrated on Hafsa, it's beautiful. When you see that the Sahaba narrated on each other, it makes the isnad beautiful. When you see the Tabi'i narrating on a Tabi'i, when you see Tirmidhi narrate on Bukhari, and then Bukhari narrate on Tirmidhi, has a beauty to it, yes or no? Naam? So it changes the isnad, it beautifies the isnad. That's why it's called mudabbaj as well. Wadih? As for the definition of mudabbaj, according to the ulama of hadith, huwa an yarwi kullun min rawiyaini anil akhar. So wa an kana qarinaini am kana ahaduhuma akbar min al akhar. Fayakunu رواية أهدهما عن الآخر من رواية الأكابر عن الأصاغر. اختلاف. There's a difference of opinion in the definition of مدبج. We're going to just deal with it in a simple way. And that is that the مدبج is where two narrators narrate upon each other. Two narrators narrate upon each other. Even if one is older than the other. Because some of the ulama have said that they have to be the same age. So here the definition that some of the ulama have said is that it doesn't matter if they're of the same age, one is younger or one is older. They just narrate upon each other. So like, for example, Bukhari and Tirmidhi. Bukhari is aqdam, is older. But he narrated on Tirmidhi. And the Tirmidhi narrated on him. They say this is mudabbaj. It doesn't matter about the age. So that is two narrators who narrate upon each other. No matter how old the other is to the other, if one is older than the other. And even if this one is older than the other, the one that is older is narrating upon the one that is younger, and the one that is younger is narrating upon the one that is older. That is mudabbaj. And an example of Mudabbaj is, as we mentioned before, the companions narrating upon the companions, number one. Number two, the tabi'i narrating upon the tabi'i. And number three, the atba tabi'i narrating upon the atba tabi'i. And number four, the tabi'i narrating upon the sahaba, and the sahaba narrating upon the tabi'i. Is that confusing? Because we said it's not about age. It's not about age. That is the opinion of many of the ulama. So riwayatul sahabi and tabi'i, wa riwayatul tabi'i and sahaba. Some of the sahaba narrated upon the tabi'i, which is why in a hadith that is mursal, even we don't know who the narrator is. It could be a sahabi or it could be a tabi. It could be a sahabi who narrated upon a tabi, and vice versa. So we don't know, because there are some narrations where the companions took narrations from the tabi'i, the elder tabi'i, na'am, rahimahumullah. That is an example of mudabbaj generally. Let's move on to the next one. The next one is al-muttafiq wal-muftariq. And that is a statement of al-Bayquni rahimahullah ta'ala. متفق لفظا وخطا متفق وضده فيما ذكرنا المفترق. And that is, he said that متفق, I'm going to explain it in general, and that is that some words, some names of the narrators, because now what we're going to do in science or issue number 28 and issue number 29, we're going to talk about these two specifically on how the names of the narrators are written. On how who? The names. So pay attention when we talk about this issue, this point here, or issue here in Ilmu Hadith, and that is Al-Muttafiq and Muftariq. And that is the issue of how the names of the narrators are written. And Mu'talif wa Mukhtalif as well, which is 29, again deals with how the narrators' names are written. They have two different aspects that the ulama dealt with these two different issues of the science of hadith. The first one is al-muttafiq wal-muftariq, and that is the definition of it is mattafaqa min al-asma'i wal-ansabi wa nahwihima lafdhuhu wa khattuhu wa ikhtalafa shakhsuhu. And that is, in some narrators they have the same name, they have the same lineage, yani tribe, they have the same father's names. The names is totally identical. This is muttafiq, which means what? Agreed. So they agreed, you can write, is they agreed lafdhan wa khat. They agreed in the pronunciation of their name and in the way their name is written. This is muttafiq. But wadidduhu fima dhakarna al-muftariq. And the opposite of that is when they're not the same. This is one issue in the science of hadith. So we have this definition, and that is matafaqa min al-asma'i wal-ansabi wa nahwihima lafdhuhu wa khattuhu wa ikhtalafa shakhsuhu. Where the names are similar, the same actually, the names are similar, or their tribes are similar, or their father's names are similar, but their difference as in the individual is not the same individual. It's not the same individual. And the example of this, barakallahu fikum, number one, is one of the narrators in the books of the Sunnah. His name is Al-Khalil ibn Ahmed. Al-Khalil ibn Ahmed. His name is Khalil, and his father's name is what, ikhwah? Ahmed. There are six narrators who are like this. There are how many? Six narrators who have this same name. Some of them are trustworthy, some of them are not trustworthy. So the ulama of hadith and the ulama of ilal, they are able to distinguish between these six names. And that shows this is from ilal. This is from where? Mu'al. This is from the science of the ilal. Now, the next one we're going to mention is the one whose name, alaykum salam, the one whose name is the same, and his father's name is the same, and his grandfather's name is the same. So now, there's a narrator here, his name is Ahmed Ibn Ja'far Ibn Hamdan. What's his name? Ahmed Ibn Ja'far Ibn Hamdan. So his name is Ahmed. His father's name is Ja'far. And his grandfather's name is Hamdan. There are four narrators with the exact same name. Ahmed Ibn Ja'far Ibn Hamdan. Ibn Hamdan. So there are four narrators in the books, as Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala and the ulama of hadith have done tatabbu and accumulate, that have the same name, same father's name and same grandfather's name. Is this a problem potentially? Why could that potentially be a problem, ya ahibba? One could be thiqqa, one could be daif, one could be from Kufa, the other one could be from Medina. And maybe an individual sees the apparentness of this isnad and think, oh, Ahmed ibn Ja'far ibn Hamdan, oh, kada, kada. And also to add to that, all of these four narrators lived in the same period. Not only did they have the same name, same father's name, same grandfather's name, they lived in the same period. So for the laymen such as, after the inshallah, keep that question, the laymen such as you and I, because I want to finish the text, yeah? The laymen such as you and I, this is just a problem, isn't it? But the ulama of hadith, the salaf of ummah, the defenders of the sunnah, they work hard to differentiate who these four individuals are, where they are, who they were, who their shuyukh were. Are they mudallis? Huh? Are they mudallis? Are they thiqqa? Are they maqbool? Because we need to know it could be shadh. We need to know if he's an accepting narrator, his level, his tabaqah, his level in the tadlis. Maybe he's in the first level of tadlis or he's in the last one of tadlis. So this is an issue where it has major importance. Where it has major importance. And an example of individual who have the same kunya. You know kunya? Nickname, as they like to say here. They have the same kunya and have the same lineage, yani qabila, tribe. And that is Abu Imran al-Jawni. Abu Imran al-Jawni. Abu Imran is his what? Is his what? Kunya, like your oldest son. Generally, you call Abu Abdullah, if your son's or eldest son, his name is Abdullah. So this individual here, Abu Imran or Imran al-Jawni. Abu Imran al-Jawni. There are two of them. Same kunya and same nickname. Same nickname and same lineage. Same nickname and same lineage. But they have different names. So the ulama of hadith will see in some of the narrations, individuals say, Abu Hadathani Abu Imran al-Jawni. Which one is he? Naam? So this shows the importance of muttafiq. Muttafiq yani, where the word, the name, the pronunciation and the name is the same. Muftariq, but the people are different. Here in this poetry, Al-Bayquni acts like there are two different sciences, yes or no? But actually it's all one. Muttafiq and Muftariq. Yani Muttafiq, they're agreed in their names, pronunciation and wordings. And the Muftariqish, individual is different. The individual is different. Wadih? Naam. I know you're thinking about the exam. I can see it in your eyes. Okay, muttafiq is where there is they agree in their name, father's name, or lineage, or kunya, as I've given you examples of that. But they're muftariq. They're not the same person. That's why it's called muttafiq wa muftariq. Muttafiq means the same, agreed. Okay, let's go to the next science, shall we? Oh, moving on quickly, huh? You ready for the next one? And this is mu'talif wal mukhtalif. Mu'talif wal mukhtalif. He says, the Baykuni rahimahullah ta'ala, mu'talifun muttafiqul khatti faqat wa didduhu mukhtalifun fakhshal ghalat. Nice. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that mu'talifun is where the letters are the same only. The writing of the letters are the same only. وَدِدُّهُ مُخْتَلِفٌ فَخْشَ الْغَلَطِ. When they're different, they are actually different, so fear making an error. فَخْشَ الْغَلَطِ Fear making an error, because it's one of the most intricate of issues. So it's people are prone to make error or err as it relates to this. So as a طالب العلم, as a student of knowledge, be careful. As a student of knowledge, be careful. And an example we're going to give for that is, so the first one, Muttafiq and Muftariq, same name, same father's name, same kunya and same nasab, lineage. This one is talking about the letters. So for example, we have Hibban, Hayyan, Wajayyan. Now, initially in the Arabic language, there were no dots. Wadih, it wasn't that which is not always common. So we have, for example, Hibban with Ba, Wahayyan with Ya, and Jayyan with Jim and Ya. They look the same, yes or no? As in a letter form, they look the same, but they're different. But they are different. A, they're different as it relates to the Tashkilat. Fatha, Dhamma. They're different as it relates to Fatha, Dhamma, Kasra, and different as it relates to the dots. So the first one, Hibban, has a ba at the end. Tahtiya. And the Hayyan is ya. And the last one is Jayyan is jim with a dot on the jim instead of ha. So some narrators, when they're writing the names of the, or some compilers on are writing the names of the narrators, they may forget some dots. Yes or no? And then it becomes a problem. Therefore, you may consider somebody in the isnad, and it's not actually him, because his name is not Jayyan, his name is Hibban. Or his name is not Usayyid, his name is Usayyid, not Asid. You see? Usayyid, Alif, Seen, Dal. Asid, Alif, Seen, Dal. But they're pronounced different. One has Shidda and the other one doesn't. One has Shidda and the other one doesn't. Interesting science, isn't it? Which is the importance of perfecting your khat. It shows the importance of perfecting your writing and being precise in your writing. So the diqqa, the intricacy of the ulama of hadith and the narrations, not just them narrating, it's how they write the names. Especially in Dabt al-Kitaba. Especially Dabt al-Kitaba. Na'am. So, فَخْشَ الْغَلَطِ Ay, be careful. This is a serious issue. It's easy to make an error. It's easy to make a mistake. So, فَخْشَ الْغَلَطِ أَيُّ الطَّالِبِ الْعِلْمِ Fear falling into error, O you student of knowledge, and be precise. And be precise. The next one. Am I going too quick? Talib. Quays? Mai? Anwar? Jamil? Nimshi. Khalas. The next one is Al-Munkar. This is number 30. Wal-Munkarul fardu bihi rawin ghada. تَعْلِيلُهُ لَا يَحْمِلُ تَفَرُّدًا And that is the statement here of Bayquni, where he says, رَحْمُ اللَّهُ Al-Munkar, and we've done this many times before. Yes or no? Al-Munkar is an individual who narrates on his own, and he doesn't have a recommendation that allows him to do so. So it's a narrator, he says, Bayquni, and Munkar is a narrator who narrates, and he's on his own. He doesn't have anyone else who heard it. But he is not of the station to receive any recommendation, so that him being on his own without any supporting narrators to support him, he's not of that station where it should be accepted. This is called Munkar. No, it doesn't mean he's da'if. It just means that he cannot be on his own. Yeah? He's not precise, maybe. He's not precise. That's why Munkar doesn't necessarily mean da'if. But if we have time in the future, we can go into more depth. Maybe do another matan in Mustalah Hadith, and we can go more in depth on that. But right now, just a general definition. Regarding this Munkar, we're going to mention two. There are about four different itlaqat, paths that the ulama have used regarding Munkar, but we mentioned two. Okay, the first one is the definition here that Bayquni mentions, and that is that Al-Munkar is rejected. It's an individual who narrates a hadith, but he's on his own. And he's not of the level, the ulama have not given him ta'deel, have not praised him to such that he's able to be on his own. And that's, as some of the ulama have said, al-hadith alladhi tafarrad bihi, or tafarrada bi riwayatihi, rawin la yu'raf al-matnu illa min tariqihi. So this text is only known by him. This narration is only known by him, but he's not somebody who is of the level where he can be that way. We need help. We're not confident in your narration. We need there to be somebody else who's heard it with you. And this is munkar, the first. The second munkar is mukhalafatu al-da'if li-thiqat, or li-thiqqa. And that is where the da'if, a weak narrator, opposes a thiqqa, a trustworthy narrator. Where there are two hadiths, two narrations. One is narrated by a da'if, a weak narrator, and one is narrated by a thiqqa, trustworthy narrator. And this da'if, weak narrator, opposes in the text or the isnad with the thiqqa, trustworthy narrator. Is this shadh? It's called what? Munkar. Why? Because it's not shadh, because shadh is when you are maqbool, when you are accepted. Weak narrator is not accepted. So not only is he tafarrud, this is worse than the first category we mentioned. Not only is he on his own, but he's also... Okay, there's three things. He's da'if. He's what? On his own. And thirdly, he's opposed a thiqqa. So this is the problem. This is the big problem. This is why the Ummah says munkar. This is what? Munkar. And the more he has of this, it increases him in his weakness. The more he has of this, it increases him in his weakness. Let's continue. Number 31. Is everyone getting this down, inshallah? Wadih? Anwar? Jibreel? Mai? What's munkar? Itlaqain? Jibli itlaqain? He opposes a thiqqa? Hold on. We're mixing it now. The first type of munkar is what? He narrates a hadith where he's on his own. And he's not of the level to do so. The ulama have not given him enough recommendation to do so. The second one, put the curtain down a bit. Now, he's on his own in the narration. He's weak in himself, and to add to salt to injury, he's opposed a thiqqa. So this is da'af shadid. This is da'afun shadid. Severe weakness in that matan. Severe weakness in that matan. Number 31. Al-matruk. The one that is left. Matrukuhu mawahidun bihi farad. Wa ajma'u li da'fihi fahuwa karad. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that matruk is infirad. Another infirad. He's on his own. Singularity. This narrator is on his own. And the ulama ajma'u li da'fihi fahuwa karad. So his narration is rejected straight away. So an individual who is on his own. Remember munkar, we said he's on his own, but not that he's considered weak and the ulama have agreed upon his weak. The matruk is an individual. He's left from taraka, yatruku, matruk. He's left, maf'ubihi is left. Why? And his narrations is left and rejected because the ulama ajma'u ala da'fihi. The ulama have come to a consensus that he's weak. There's no ikhtilaf. So this is someone who's without a shadow of doubt is a weak narrator. Wahuwa saqitu. His narration is rejected. He's a nobody as it relates to the ilm of hadith. An example of this is Anas ibn Abdul Hamid. Anasu ibn Abdul Hamid. He's matruk. Why? Huwa urifu Urifa bil kadhibi fi kalamihi. He is known to lie. Everyone knows him to lie as it relates to the statements of people. He lies on people. So you know we have the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man kadhaba alayha mutaamidan fatabawa maq'aduhu min an-nar. Whoever lies upon me intentionally, then let him prepare his seat or have his seat in the hellfire. Also, not the one who lies on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who lies on people. He says that this person did this and he didn't. He said this person says this and he didn't. And he's known to be like this. He reaches the level of matruk. And that is like Anas ibn Abdul Hamid. And another example is Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Ahmed. Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Ahmed ibn Yahya. Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Ahmed ibn Yahya. And Al-Dhahabi mentions him in Mizanul I'tidal. In Mizanul I'tidal. An excellent book where he mentions Al-Dhahabi Mizanul I'tidal. Write the name of the book if you can. Mizanul I'tidal, where Al-Dhahabi has compiled everyone that the ulama of hadith have spoken ill about. So people saying, why are you busying yourself with Jarh al-Ta'dil? Al-Dhahabi wrote a whole book, Mizanul I'tidal, where he mentions everyone that has been disparaged, that he's able to collect the name and put them in one place. So the ulama will look for it, even if it's just one disparagement. In one way, form or fashion. Tadlis, ikhtilat and so forth. In that, Ahmed ibn Yahya was known to be matruk, because he opposed the fundamentals, the general fundamentals of the deen. He opposed the general fundamentals of the deen. And another example is Sulaiman ibn Dawood Ash-Shadhukuni. And Sulaiman was weak in his deen. Sulaiman was known to be weak in his deen. Saqitul Adala. Shadhukuni. Ibn Abi Hatim al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Sami'tu Abi. He heard his father, Abi Hatim, yaqul Sulaiman al-Shadhukuni. No, the dhal is maftuh, fatha. Shadhakuni, Sulaiman al-Shadhakuni, laysa bi shay'in matrukul hadith. And for that, Abi Hatim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Sulaiman here, Ibn Dawood, is laysa bi shay, he's nothing. Worthless as it relates to an isnad. His narrations are matruk. Matrukul hadith. Anything he narrates is rejected. Naam. Why? Because the ulama have no difference as it relates to his weakness. And Hafid ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, also said that he's matruk. The final one we're going to talk about today. And the final mawdu, which is the 32nd issue in ilmu hadith in al-Bayquniyya. And that is the statement al-mawdu. And that is al-mawdu, fabricated. A hadith that is fabricated. قال رحمه الله تعالى والكذب المختلق المصنوع على النبي فذلك الموضوع. He said رحمه الله that a lie that is conjured up, cooked up, attributed to the messenger, to the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, is موضوع. The word مختلق is the same as موضوع, fabricated. المختلق معناه الموضوع نفس المعنى مترادفين أو مترادفان synonyms same meaning. This is موضوع where one cooks up a narration and says that the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it but he didn't. And we have different ways that the ulama have spoken about this kind of hadith. Number one, لا أصل له. It has no foundation. There's no chain. like a note chain that is reputable or anything, like the talib al-ilm walaw fi sin. Seek knowledge even if in China. La asla lahu. There's no reputed isnad. This is something that became a statement that somebody said, and then it was attributed and fabricated and attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another way that the ulama say, they say is mawdu', of course. They say is mawdu'. And that's the second. And the third is that they say is batil, hadithun batil. When you hear the takhrij, you're reading the books of the ulama, and they write in the footnotes, hadithun batil, that this hadith is false. Know that they're saying is mawdu'. Know that they're saying is mawdu'. And then after that, we deal with how the ulama know when a hadith is mawdu'. How do the ulama know that the hadith is mawdu'? And that is by looking at certain affairs. Like some of the tabi'i, rahmahullah ta'ala, Rabi' ibn Khaytham, he said, rahmahullah, inna lil hadithi dawa'an kadaw'id nahari yu'raf wa dhulumatan kadhulumatil layli tunkar. He said, rahmahullah, that verily a hadith has a light. There's a light in the hadith in which its illumination is known like the day. And likewise, there's a darkness in which its darkness is rejected like the night. Meaning that there are signs to know when a hadith is fabricated. There are signs that the ulama know to see and know that the hadith is fabricated. And from those signs is al-rakaka. You know rakaka? Linguistic errors in the hadith. When you see the hadith and the text has linguistic errors, it's impossible that it can be attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was the most fluent in the Arabic language. Number one. Number one is what? It's called what? Al-rakaka. It's rakik. Yani has the Arabs know when they hear it, it has some type of lahan, some mistakes and errors in its word form, in word usage and so forth, and contextual usage and so forth, that it's impossible that this can be from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَقَدْ أُوْطِيْتُ جُوَامِ الْكَلِمِ. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, verily I've been given, Allah has given him the ability to mention few words with many and vast meaning. So it's impossible that this can be from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Alama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, in some narrations he's made it weak and mawdu' for the simple fact that it opposes the Arabic language. It opposes the qawaid al-amma, the general rulings as it relates to the Arabic language and linguistics. The second way is there's asabiyya. There's some racism. Mentions some. There's a book that mentions a few of these narrations. It's quite hilarious, actually. One of them was, be careful of the black, the Zunuj. They'll take your money and your women. There's a hadith. And this hadith is obviously what? Mawdu. Why? Because it promotes what? Racism. And that is against Islam. Some of the statements that they mentioned, talking ill about the Yemenis and talking ill about those from Sham. We know that is those who have ta'assub in Yemen are making ill statements about those in Sham, and they say it's the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they can make themselves seem so glorious as a nation. But this is the ulama of hadith, they know this, that this cannot be from al-Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it's rejected and it's mawdu'. Another way that the ulama, they see al-mawdu' is if it yukhalif usul ad-din. If the hadith yukhalif usul ad-din, it opposes the fundamentals of tawheed, it opposes the fundamental of aqidah, and this predominantly comes from the Sufis, where the Sufis, they'll bring and invent narrations in order to claim to encourage people to do worship, But in that hadith that they've narrated to try and encourage people, there are issues of aqidah, because they have messed up aqidah initially, the Ash'aris and so forth, that is in opposition to the fundamentals of the deen. So therefore, the ulama realizes that this cannot be from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it cannot be that the Sahaba narrated it, and it cannot be that anyone from the Salaf narrated it. Rather, this was cooked up by the Sufiya or the people of innovation. So it is considered mawdu'. And another final way that one can find out al-mawdu' is by the narrator admitting it himself. Now, as is the qissa with Imam Ahmed and Yahya ibn Ma'in, rahimahullah, an individual admitted it in front of them that he conjured up in hadith. They did this because they wanted to do tatabbul gharaib. They wanted to be rare and mention rare narrations and be known as individuals who have narrations that others do not have. And they admitted it. Some have admitted it in the history and in the books of hadith that they lied. So then every narration that this individual narrates will be considered weak and so forth. Now, and that's the end of Al-Bayquniyya as it relates to the points. And then he says, Rahimullah, وَقَدْ أَتَتْ كَالْجَوْهَرِ الْمَكْنُونِ سَمَيْتُهَا مَنْذُومَةَ الْبَيْقُونِ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثِينَ بِأَرْبَعٍ أَتَتْ أَبْيَاتُهَا ثُمَّ بِخَيْرٍ خُتِمَتْ. He says that this is like a pearl that is preserved, and he's called it Bayquniyya, the poetry or the odium of Al-Bayquni, over 34. He says 34 because he considers Mutafiq and Muftariq to be separate, and Mu'talif and Mukhtalif to be separate. But they actually one. So it's actually 32. Abiyatuha thumma bi khayrin khutimat. And that is the end of these poetry, and with that he seals it with how we began it. And that is by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salam on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, that we be from people who seek ilm, and he gives us ilmu nafi', beneficial knowledge, and amal salih, and acting upon that knowledge with ikhlas, sincerity, and sidq, and truthfulness, and thabat, and strength, and steadfastness, that we die upon this, and we call upon this before that. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Hayakumullah.